Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
About two stories that took place on the internet this week that I want to talk about because they both deal with mental health and self-care, at least in my personal opinion. Now, before we get into the conversation, let's keep in mind that I am not a licensed professional. I am only a medical advocate. So make sure that you do what's best for you, as well as make sure that you seek actual care from those who actually are licensed to give it. Love to give a good disclaimer, so let's get into the conversation. So there are two stories that are going on, and I think that they are both equally important when it comes to those who identify with having some sort of mental health issue. And as you are identifying, it's also going to change the way that, you know, you're perceived or the way that you go about looking at situations, because your mental health does flex. It does have everything to do with that situation. So let's get into the first conversation. The first conversation goes to, all right, so the first story comes from a woman who seemingly, both actually stories look like the women are both having like some type of psychological breakdown, some type of mental health situation where one of them unfortunately harms and kills the several people, one being their 8-month-old baby, and then the second their partner. This first situation, again, they didn't get to the part where they harmed anyone, but they were at the point where you can tell, legitimately tell, that there was something wrong. The reason why I'm talking about both of these situations, because one, it's a hot topic that's happening on these internet streets, but the second part of it is that, again, people forget the concept of when someone's having a mental health situation and they start to mix religion with it, it's always to discount the other. That means that the religious will take the most part of being the focus and the mental health will take a back seat. One thing about your mental health, whether you want to ignore it or not, is that it's not going anywhere. So you can ignore it and say, okay, everything is fine or everything isn't, but I'm only going to focus on this one part. But life doesn't, mental health doesn't, your mindset does not usually change. And when it's usually in the thick of it, especially if it's a mental health issue, you can't really turn that off. So it's going to continuously come back. It's going to continuously be an issue. I wrote a blog a couple of years, I think it might even barely be 2 years, where it talks about like therapy in the church and the fact that, you know, I grew up in the church my entire life and you never heard anybody, and I do mean anybody, talk about the concept of going to therapy. Everything was, you know, leave the people outside, don't let them into your home, don't let them into your world, because, you know, them talking to you about mental health was just like considered horrible. It was like the worst thing, one of the worst things you could do. And so, of course, when you hear stuff like this, and when you're in an environment where it's simply just not considered okay, it takes a long time before you just, you know, volunteer and raise your hand to go get seen, to go get checked, to go do all the things. And so it's important that we understand that this isn't just about personal preference. This has a lot to do with the fact that these ideologies that we're taught, and sometimes I feel like we're taught directly, like some people have been taught like, do not go to therapy, do not go get these other mental health situations, but some of it is just learned behavior. And if it becomes more about learned behavior, you're picking up what somebody else has said or done and thinking that that's normal. It took me a long time before I can consider like, okay, yeah, if I have an issue, something's coming up, I don't have to wait even till just my next appointment. If I need to speak a little sooner, it's okay for me to call and say, I need some more assistance. But again, this is not a normal conversation. And I really do feel sorry for the two women because, again, neither one of them, in my opinion, kind of acknowledged fully the fact that their behavior now has a lot to do with how they were perceiving themselves. A lot of it, right? And I think that happens to all of us. We, you know, have somebody that may be battling cancer. They start to look different. Their body looks different. They're going through. And so you tend to semi-forget some of the basics and when it takes time to take care of yourself. What do you do when faith-based approach is the only approach that you're used to and you're being told that the reason why you're still in the same situation that you're in, meaning normally mental health related, is that because your faith is not strong enough. So let's say, okay, you are starting to deal with, let's see, depression. And so the depression becomes a lot stronger. And as you're trying to battle that, which again, what is battling that when you're in the situation, you, if you want to be better, if you want to be healed, if you would like to be an example in all the things with your family, you have to go above and beyond to allow people who have either hurt you or harmed you and forgive it. And as far as faith-based, when it comes to Christianity and therapy, oftentimes it is, again, you're not allowed to seek both. And it's crazy because by not seeking both revenues of healing, when you look and try to figure out one over the other, there isn't one that seems to be the better action for someone. And so a lot of times, just like when you're treating somebody who maybe has broken their leg, the longer you wait in there for somebody who is a heart specialist and doesn't do that, it's going to cause you more harm. But we don't realize that. And so there are, like, I don't want to say signs, but I will say there are things that you can look out for people when they have seemingly got into a state of, I don't need this. I don't need therapy. I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to pray. And listen, so many people will use like a guilt trip and say that if you prayed a lot harder, if you prayed a lot stronger, that this thing will get, you know, basically you would be able to control it from happening to you. This is not the proper way. I want everybody, when they go home today or while you're listening to this podcast or whatever you're doing while you're listening to this podcast, is that you need to clean out the things that are no longer serving you. And even the thought process, even continuously listening to things that's telling you and challenging you to not seek help just because help looks different than simply just a prayer. There is absolutely nothing wrong with prayer. There's nothing wrong with faith. There's nothing wrong with all those things, but I would rather be more equipped to handle the situations that are coming, because these situations that I've seen in the last 2, 3, maybe 4, since you're my aunt, is because of the inability to take care of, you know, what it is to take your mental health as seriously as possible without causing paranoia, of course, but also make sure that, hey, this looks like it doesn't work. This is looking like there's a problem. That is the type of situation that you want to do and you want to handle when it comes to what your faith or whatever your faith level is. Like, I'm the type of person, I'm not sitting here trying to control what somebody does, a video that somebody shares. Like, all these things are going to come to light. But I want to preface that if these mental health issues do come to light and it's something that you are not used to dealing with, and you have attempted to have friends, you know, or family members that kind of step in the gap a little bit, I need you to write down that information, write down the name, write down the way, you know, whoever you spoke to, write down how you felt in the situation, because this means that you're not able to get a hold of your mental health provider, and you need to be able to write down some of the things that were initially had issues so that you can better yet serve the people. So, no, if you have a mental health issue, you can pray. You can also get therapy. You can also get other services. And in addition, it doesn't mean that your faith is low. It does not mean that whatsoever. You know, we have to shy away from the concept of, you know, only telling this small selected few people and then acting as if we're perfect. Like, this perfection might ideology that we have is going to get and cause some great, great, great harm. I am all for people, you know, figuring out whom they can share something with. But when it comes to your mental health, you need to find at least one person that, again, knows what you're going through. And if need be, can direct other people, like, you know, safety personnel, hospital doctors, whomever, to know what's going on. Because, again, I just read you off a list of accomplishments from things that people were going through on the internet. But here's the thing. You can have all the accolades, you can have all the degrees, you can have all the things, everything can be written out clear, you could be the best at everything that you do, but if your mental health and your self-care and all those mindsets are not clear, you are going to be struggling. So many people have, like, this, even this week with, like, I don't know, flowers and things like that. Like, I get myself a pair, I mean, not a pair, but flowers every week. And as they begin to die, you know, you do the thing to try to keep them up and stuff. And the reason why I'm bringing up doing the work to take care of a plant is that sometimes people will put more emphasis on their plants. They put more emphasis on their dogs. They put more emphasis on these other things rather than, again, how can I be a better person in this society to make sure that if I'm in the middle of a struggle, that my person and the people around me can get the help that's necessary. And if you are a person that is telling somebody else, right, you see that the other person is going through, you're not 100% sure what the issue is, please make sure that you refrain from speaking on it until you're clear. This is the reason why, especially if you are a woman, because we hear our stories and things that go past all the time. But when we continuously talk down upon the things that are happening, we are putting and setting in the atmosphere those who are around us. And normally it's a child. Sometimes, most of the time, it's a child that's near. So we have to be just a little bit careful before we simply allow certain things to be said and things to be had. Some of you who are listening may not have ever been to, like, a Black church, but in my particular church that we went to, I'll give you an example. So let's say somebody is up in this testimony service, right? Testimony service is the time when you tell again about the life, the things that's been going on, things that you've accomplished, good or bad. And I remember many a times during testimony service, you would have people that would be really struggling with things, right? You could tell that they were struggling. They spoke about it. They talked about it. Their face and their countenance, you know, was off the chain because whatever they were dealing with was extremely heavy. I remember many a days when so many of us would hear the person that were speaking, we would maybe take notes or we would talk about, like, oh, like, this is what's going on. Well, here is the thing. Just like at testimony service, when you're saying, hey, these are things that's going on, oftentimes people, when they speak in general, will talk about things that they have on their heart that's pressing. And the more that they're pressed about it, the more that they're having, you know, type of conversations with themselves or even out loud about certain things that they're struggling with. These are things that if you believe in the power of prayer, that you can pray for somebody and pray with them. But I want us to take that a step further. This is when we have to start seeking out help for those who are in need of it, those who are willing to receive it, because there's no reason why you can't be faith-based and a mental health advocate, even if the advocacy is for yourself. How do you speak up in certain situations when you feel that your emotions or something that you're dealing with is too far gone for you to feel like you can get a relief? Checking in and having mental health check-ins is extremely, extremely important. So when was the last time you came together with a group of friends and said, hey, you know, is everything okay? And then they said, you know what? No, everything's not okay. And this is what's happening. And that's what's happening. What do you do? How do you comfort somebody? Do you use your faith-based skills where you combine the things of, hey, let me find out how I can help physically. In addition, let me also pray for you and with you. So I used to always, when people would say, keep me in prayer, I'd always pray right then, like say my prayer for them right then, because we forget. Sometimes we forget. And I want us to try it again when we're talking about faith-based and mental health. I want us to try to fuse the two together, not just for events so that we can bring in, you know, make sure we have bodies and seats for events, but also just in real life. When you show that you have been somewhere and you add that you've, like, been, let's say, to New York or something for whatever event, it gives more validity. And I want us to try to use that same concept in therapy with faith-based, is that when we combine our faith, when we are honest about where we are, when we can say, this is what I need, when we can add those different elements, it will make it better. So let's just have a recap of the certain things that have been going on these internet streets. Well, this week we see that fellow Heisman Trophy winner O.J. Simpson has passed away, as represented from his family says, from cancer. If you've ever been a follower of O.J. Simpson, then you are fully aware that he was a very charismatic man, and he's also well known for not necessarily being fully rewarded for his behavior, as many believe that he killed his ex-wife and her lover. And now that he has passed away, there have been quite a few reactions to his death. Some of them have been, "I'm so appreciative, thank you so much, I'm grateful for this." And then there's been folks that have been like, "Oh well." Caitlyn Jenner, for instance, I believe is the one that said, good riddance to a man who had a life. Now here's the thing. If you know anything about life, the way you live is the way that you sometimes can perish. And in the midst of that, the way that you live dictates the level of people's care level for saying, okay, let's pray for his family, let's pray for certain things. People be timed out. And I feel like that's what we're experiencing. Usually it doesn't happen so widespread, because when you have an issue with someone, you have you have bearers in front of you. I think O.J. Simpson did so much that it just was compounded, and nothing that he did after the trial for his ex-wife and her lover, it never did reconcile his behavior. It never did give you a starting point to be like, okay, this kid needs, or this person, we got to be at this level. And if they pass this level, then maybe. But I'm telling you, O.J. Simpson passed, and it is an interesting read. If you are on Twitter, you should probably consider reading some of the comments. I want to encourage you to know that before you go to read them, the comments are bad. So you just have to make that decision. The comments are bad. Another story that has been majorly big on the internet streets this week was Aoki Lee Simmons, who is the daughter of Russell Simmons, and the fact that she was dating, I believe, he was 65? He was older. He was like almost 40 plus years older than her, and they were dating. She's 20. I know she's at least 21, 22. So either way, she's in her 20s. He's in his late 50s, early 60s, and there's a huge age gap. The big issue that everybody's been saying is the fact that, one, people believe that she gravitated towards this man because of daddy issues. That is very much, can very well be the case. That very well could actually be the reason why she is or was dating him, because it was very much short-lived. The second that it got on the internet and it started to make its way around, they then called off their relationship, which is interesting, but also not uncommon. And the biggest question is, how could her parents allow her to see this man? She's 20-something years old, so she is an adult, right? And one would presumably assume that hopefully she's able to support herself, so she doesn't need their guidance or approval in order for her to do certain things that, again, are difficult. People have said all kinds of stuff about her, but I'll say very few people are saying anything to the point, not to the same level, about Aoki. Now, everybody's complaining about her, but they're not in the least bit saying anything about this, how this grown man is pursuing this young girl who could be almost the same age as his children. Nobody is saying anything. And it's like everybody forgets that part and they're only focused on the fact of, well, why is she doing A, B, and C? Why is she seeing him? Why is she doing these things? Like, it's such a double standard, and thus creates a double standard even in mental health and self-care awareness, because the way that you look at somebody and you have these thought processes and the judgments that you have will determine whether or not you want to get them help, you want to intervene, you feel all the things. Like, so some of the people who I've heard, there's been like multiple think pieces regarding this whole situation. So I won't say the name of the podcast, but what I will say is this particular podcast that I do listen on a regular basis, they said that if their sons, because they have boys, is that if their boys got into the same type of situation, one, not tell nobody, but two, if they did say anything to somebody, they would hold more reverence for the gentleman than they would Aoki. also, if their kids got into the same situation and they were dating someone that they didn't agree with, they would cut off their services. Let's say they were paying, you know, they're under their parents' care, they're over 18, but they're dating someone that the parent just felt like was completely somebody they shouldn't be with. They said they would just cut them off. Here's the thing. I do agree to a certain extent that some parents are more than willing to say, okay, if you don't play by my rules, then I have to cut you off and you have to figure it out. If they have a child that's like me, they will figure it out. They will not allow themselves to be dictated by whom they date. That's one part. Then there's the other side of it is that, okay, you are removing help from your child or to your child because of your disagreement of who they're dating, but you would be willing to set your kids into the middle of the wilderness just because they disagreed. I think that is the part that I'm just like blown away at the fact that people would be okay with saying my kid's preference. And if your child is having something that's so well, but I'm not about to just like, I'm going to take a preference. I'm going to be like, okay, I'm here for this person. I'm not here for that. And these preferences that we have are just so based upon our own judgmental thoughts. You know, somebody upholding Aoki, but saying, you know, or upholding the gentleman, but saying she is, you know, a problem because she dated and there's something the matter with her. It's crazy, but we live in a society where that is completely normal. It's normalized. And so this is where we are. I personally do believe that there is this weird way in which we look at dating and we put ages and numbers to it because there does need to be it. If you have a child, let's say you had a child, she's 17 years old, and the 17-year-old gets into a conversation and they're talking to somebody who is 20 years older than them. Problematic. But let's also talk about the fact that Aoki's parents lived in a different time where obviously we turned our back. I feel like we sometimes with some the failure to some of these things after a while, because when Russell Simmons was talking to Kimora Lee Simmons, which is his ex-wife, a lot of things was normalized. Why is it okay for some 17-year-old to be in the company of any person that's 18 or over? Because what are they doing? Like, what type of conversations are they having? What are we having in common? And how are we proceeding with this relationship? And the fact that sometimes, and this is a girl, a woman or a man or a boy or girl thing, we just bring sex into everything, and sex meaning the orientation of who the person is. And if it's a boy, we try to like high five it. Oh, this, you know, your own boy was able to snag an old cougar. She was, you know, he's, you know, messing with this girl. You know, she's 30 years younger than him. And so it becomes a badge of honor where if that was a woman doing the same thing, we don't call that out. We just kind of like turn a blind eye to it. But it does matter. So we need to just try to find people that we can vibe with that are on our level. And yes, love is love. You can't help who you fall in love with. But if it's something that's illegal, if you are breaking a law that you, for your relationship to be, you know, a thing, I think you probably should err on the side of the law, because when you don't, you can lose it all. You can literally lose it all. So we talked about this story before, the young boy, the 6-year-old who shot his teacher. The former assistant principal was charged because they felt like she didn't do enough to protect the teacher. And I almost agree with that. I don't even want to say I almost agree with that. I actually do agree with that. Here's the thing. There were several warnings that were given that students had seen the boy possibly with a gun. The other teachers had seen it and then said something to the principal, who didn't do anything to say, you know, check his backpack or anything like that. And then therefore the situation happened. His mom has already been charged, and I think she's serving 2 years for her negligence and the fact that the gun came from the parent. Like, guns don't come from kids. Kids don't normally have them. They come from some other person, usually an adult or some other older child that supplies them. And so I agree. I feel like the principal, the former assistant principal, should be charged. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes and what happens with that case. They're no longer just letting people go to schools in different proximities and just shoot at people and or cause harm, and just letting that go. The solar eclipse happened this week and people have lost their mind. We already talked briefly about the story about the young lady who, again, claiming that it was the solar eclipse that caused her to harm and kill her daughter, one of her kid, an 8-month-old, her partner, and injured her 8-year-old child. We've already talked about that story. The other story we talked about earlier with the eclipse. The one young lady was having this whole mental breakdown on TikTok saying, you know, oh my gosh, this is, you know, things are going to happen and this is going to go down because of the solar eclipse. Listen, the solar eclipse is a beautiful phenomenon that doesn't just happen by chance. It just is not. The solar eclipse has been going down for years, and the fact that people are using this for religious purpose, like I said earlier, when religion takes the forefront, when we have these situations happen, it becomes, you know, again, the focuses on the religion part, but not anything else. So another young lady in Georgia decided to, no, a Georgia woman who went to Florida goes on a shooting spree during the eclipse, claiming that God told her to do it. Again, these are three examples, unfortunately, three examples about religion, solar eclipse, and mental health. God never would have told you to go and start shooting people and killing people, or possibly killing people. There's no way. This is why it's important. I can't stress enough. I cannot stress enough. This is important to have it clear that it's okay to have the love of the Lord or whoever you serve for your religious purposes. But then when you start to mix religion with mental health issues, the focus has to be on the mental health too. We put so much emphasis on making sure that we are faith-based, that we, you know, we love God and we proclaim it. There's nothing wrong with that, because now it's okay to say that you are a Christian or you're this or you're that, right? But the responsibility of making sure that your mental health is appropriately taken care of, it is a mission. And if you have someone in your life, especially somebody from the faith-based community, that's telling you that you don't need to go see a therapist, that you don't need these extra services, because they're really not extra services, just real regular services, I need you to be aware of that person, because again, they are not in your life to help you to become better. You can love the Lord, you can be a Christian, you can be whatever denomination of Christianity, you can be any religion that you choose to be, but your mental health is important. And I feel like we need to bring back talking about that openly, so that we can stop this foolishness of spreading these lies. That solar eclipse didn't do nothing to make anybody act a certain way. Whatever is in you is coming out, and people are not checking themselves. They're not being realistic. Going on a shooting spree and then blaming on the Lord, first of all, it's evil business. And then to do it around the eclipse. So some people, I feel like, were just looking to make a name for themselves, because the solar eclipse, again, is not a new phenomenon. There have been several people who said that during the eclipse that the Lord was coming back, the rapture was going to take place. I want you to realize that those are false prophets. False prophets are people who are just saying things just to say things. And so if you have saying to yourself, well, you know, it's my pastor said this and that, I need you to understand you're dealing with a false prophet. I know this is not a Christian based podcast. I'm just telling you, if you know, you know. You got to be leery of this, listening to people when they say certain things are going to happen. When it doesn't, they're lying, period. You don't want to call it a false prophet? No problem. They're lying. And so the question is, how long are you going to stay underneath a lie? How long are you going to stay underneath a lie? There's enough, if you believe in the Bible, there's enough that's going on that does prelude to what could happen for you to make up a lie. Because we're not supposed to even know the day or the hour when it's going to happen. But allegedly, now we're telling people that this is the timing. And then when the timing doesn't happen, you have to acknowledge that the person you listened to, that you believed in, that you have been under, is a lie. I learned that a long time ago. I obviously won't go into details, but my previous pastor would say things and the stuff didn't come true. Stuff did not come to pass. So it is what it is. Religion is a beautiful thing. And this is why I say religion versus having a relationship. Because when you're under religion, you'll say anything. Right? But we need to use the skill sets of the people who have been doing the work to make sure that they can take care of people like yourself, like myself, who deal with different gamuts and levels of mental health. Please do not think that you have to choose between loving the Lord or going to see a therapist. They both can work hands in hand. They're also faith-based Christian, even therapists, if that's somebody that you choose and want to have. When you go to therapy, I don't think people understand. It's like you do get to kind of a la carte what you want. If you prefer a woman or versus a man, you can do that. If you want somebody who is transgender or a part of the LGBTQ plus community, you can choose that. You get to choose who you get to seek the services of, and whatever resonates with you, then I suggest you go and go underneath them, right? Next week, I want to talk about an organization called PCA. It's Philadelphia Children's Alliance. So we will talk about them next week on the podcast. I hate saying so many times. I hope that you do have a good week. I am appreciative of all the listens, the shares, and all the things. Today is the concert with Joy Carter. So those who are going to the concert, have the most amazing time. If you're not sure who Joy Carter is, I want you to listen to the episode from last week as we talk about her amazing life. And you guys are so great. We will be back next week with another episode. I am excited. And I hope you all have a great week. Remember, this is the time for you to do something for yourself. I get it. Weekends come and we focus on replenishing all the things. We go grocery shopping, we clean the house, we do all these different chores, and we do all these errands, and we're running around to prepare basically for Monday. But I want you to find at least one activity that resonates with your soul that has nothing to do about your extension of other people. I want you to have that one activity, and I want you to indulge and have an amazing time doing so. So that is the end of this podcast. I hope that something that you heard resonate with you. I hope that made you feel at least seen, heard, or at least talked about some of the topics that's been going on this week. This has been a heavy news week because of the eclipse. My family, we had an amazing time experiencing the full eclipse. It was an experience, and I'm so grateful. So for those who enjoyed it, let me know. Like, let me know how much you enjoyed the solar eclipse. For some people who were in the path of complete totality, I think Philadelphia was only under a 90%. But let me just say how much that did change how dark it did truly get around us. So it was an experience. And I hope that with my kids, I was able to celebrate it with two out of three of my kids. Because I got an older child who's loving high school. And that means she makes the decisions about somewhere she goes and hangs out and do things. And so I respect that. But we had a great time. And that is the episode. Thank you for listening to Conversations with Toy.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.